warning. The Catholic Man Show contains high levels of manliness. If you think you may be too weak to withstand the manliness represented in the following program, please do yourself a favor and stop listening now. If you choose to continue in spite of this warning, if at any time you feel yourself overcome by the manliness, stop immediately and consult your closest medical professional. And now, for the not so fair, faint, or frilly, we present The Catholic Man Show.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We are on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. I'm Adam Minahan, sitting here with my best friend, co-host, David Niles.
Here I am.
Rocky like a hurricane. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
Cool, I dig it.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. Surprise, we don't have a guest this episode.
What?
Like, we went, I think, 6 episodes in a row with a guest.
With guests, yeah.
But now it is just us.
Mm-hmm.
And you.
It feels good.
Feels good to get back.
It was good talking to the guests we had, but
because we had some awesome guests.
Yeah.
If this is your first time listening to the Catholic Man Show, I ask you to go back to iTunes, where you can, or Stitcher or Google Play, and check out our previous episodes, because we had some stellar guests on, and check them out, because we had some really good conversations with a lot of manly men.
You almost said menly.
I almost said menly.
I told you that you say menly. It's funny.
That is kind of funny. But if this is your first time to listen to the Catholic Man Show, we do 3 things, Dave.
The first thing that we do is we open, review, and enjoy a manly beverage on the air. Yes.
Yes,
we do that today.
We do that.
Then the next thing we do is we highlight a man gear of some kind, Catholic stuff that dudes need. Should have, should use, because it's awesome.
Right.
Then the third thing we do is have just a discussion. We talk about man stuff.
Right.
This is the Catholic Man Show.
Right.
So we talk about man stuff.
Yeah. And that's logical, which we appreciate.
Yeah, I do. Ooh, yes.
I do appreciate that.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So let's just jump into the man beverage, because I'm really excited about
this massive can over here.
Yes, so one of the friends of the show, Christian Sakamoto. I'm sorry, Christian.
Sakamoto.
If we're just butchering your last name.
There was no phonetic spelling.
Yeah, so
in the email.
Not our fault. but he.
Let's just call him Christian.
Yeah, Christian.
C-man.
He sent us over some hard cider, which we have not tried on the Catholic Man Show, and we haven't tried this either, but.
The container, I think, can only be referred to as some sort of barrel.
Yeah, it's a 32-ounce
It's a can, but it's more like a barrel.
Right.
I'm curious to see what kind of sound it's going to make.
When it opens?
When we open it. Like,
yeah.
Is it going to be like a...
It's like a big can.
Like a can sound, except just like deeper.
I don't know. Let's do it. Okay. Try it out.
Jeez, I don't know. Like, do I need a crowbar?
Maybe. I don't know. It's a big can.
What if, like... What if you shook this can?
Oh, no.
And, like, think about all the pressure. Okay. Ah!
It did spray on him a little bit.
It's okay. It smells good.
But, so, he sent this from, he's from Oregon. He's from the Northwest. I think he's actually from Bend, Oregon, which is where this is from. It's called, help me out here, Dave. I can't. Atlas.
Yeah. Atlas Cider.
Atlas Cider.
And this is.
From Bend, Oregon.
Dragon Fruit.
Yeah, that's the flavor dragon fruit, which must have been either a one-off run or a particular run, because it's not actually on their website. And I got to be honest with you, Dave, I'm not an expert by any means of hard cider.
No, I'm not an expert. I do enjoy them occasionally. My wife Pamela, she really likes ciders.
Okay.
So I buy them.
Okay.
You
probably know more about
frequently.
It than I do, but let's try
this. I don't
know
if I know more about them, but I probably drink more than you do.
Okay, there you go.
Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers.
We're on the
Jesus.
Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
Okay.
Of manly cider. Mmm. That is refreshing.
That is refreshing. That's very interesting.
God, it's too bad this is alcoholic. Like, drink that in the morning.
It almost is just like
that'll wake you up.
I got to tell you, when I first took a sip, it reminded me of a carbonated Gatorade.
I've never had a carbonated Gatorade.
Just what I would envision a Gatorade carbonated.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, it's not salty. Like, it depends on what flavor Gatorade you're drinking.
Yeah.
I always drink lemon lime.
Okay.
You know, which is kind of like... I don't know if Gator... I don't know.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe that's a bad description. It is very good. So
the color is an interesting color. It's a... Well, at first I thought it was kind of red, but now I hold it up to the light.
It's more like pink.
Yeah, it's like... And it's almost like amber.
What is dragon fruit?
I have no idea.
You don't know what dragon fruit is?
I have no idea.
I think
it's red, though. It's a red fruit.
I was like...
I saw a picture of it.
I was thinking, like, I was the only guy that didn't know what dragon fruit was, so I was going to, like, T-ball this up for you, thinking, like, oh, surely Dave knows what dragon fruit is.
Let me tell you everything about dragon fruit.
Right.
What an awesome-sounding fruit, though.
It's a manly-sounding fruit.
What are you guys having? What are you eating? Oh, some dragon fruit, man. Oh, that sounds intense. It is intense.
Yeah. So I did a little bit of research on their website.
The website for these guys
which is really
is pretty
awesome.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's atlascider.com. Go check it out. And they're on their website, they have this Cider 101, and it kind of gives you what is hard cider and who drinks it.
Yeah.
And it said that, you know, it's fermented apples is what it is. But historically, the earliest record of fermentation of apples can be traced back to the Romans in 55 BC.
BC.
Yeah, when they noticed villagers drinking an alcoholic drink made from apples. And then from the 13th to the 17th century in Europe, drinking cider was safer than drinking water, with a quarter of the people's wages were actually paid in cider because the water was so bad.
What if...
Which...
What if people were doing that today?
Like, I get paid a quarter of scotch.
Yeah.
A quarter of my
salary. Or wine, you know, something like that.
But it was a necessity because the water wasn't good to drink.
Right.
So it also says that our second president, John Adams, was known to have a tankard of cider with breakfast each morning.
What is a tankard?
I think it's almost like a beer mug.
Like a bigger
man
show glass kind
yes.
of?
Yeah. Here's something else that's super funny on this website that I have to say, and I don't know if it's true or not. This is just what it
says.
But
it's on the internet.
Yeah, so it has to be true, right? It says, it was believed that babies were even baptized in this hard cider because the water was so unsanitary. The baptisms allowed their passage to heaven, and the cider, well, it was to ensure that they would not be visiting anytime soon.
For a funeral.
For a funeral.
All right. Is a baptism with cider, is it licit?
No, it can't be.
I mean, because it's supposed to be water.
Right. No, it cannot be.
But I forget what the actual rules are because, you know, if you've got muddy water, well, it's other stuff in the water. But it still works, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because... If you say, no, it has to be just pure water, it's like, well, okay, so do you have to use distilled water? Nobody's baptized in distilled water, you know, so it's like, there can be other stuff in the water.
Yeah, but it's not, like, it's still muddy
right.
water. Like, this isn't
exactly.
water.
It's still water with mud in it.
Right.
That's kind of what I think, too.
It's really funny. Also, it says, Henry Harrison's presidential campaign, he gave away free cider.
Which no is, wonder. Which is, no wonder he got elected.
And he wins the electoral votes with 234 to his opponent's 60.
That's a lot. So, that's a blowout.
So it was a landslide.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Dang it!
If one of our presidents said free beer, or free scotch, probably would
let me tell you,
help his campaign.
He'd swing the Catholic vote.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you.
So we did thank Christian for sending this to us. This is a
Sakamoto,
a new drink for us on the Catholic Man Show. This is the first time, with hard cider, and it's very refreshing.
Yeah,
like
dude.
You said, it's pink.
I still can't figure out what color it is.
It's like a pink.
But it's like almost, depending on, you hold it up in the light, now it almost looks like apple juice. But then in other lights, yeah, it looks red. It's like color shifting on me.
Well, it's really good.
I'm glad we have a big can of it.
Yeah. So thank you, Christian.
To enjoy in moderation.
Christian is a friend of the show. And our friends of the show have just been really a gift to us, Dave.
Literally true.
in several ways.
Yeah.
One, becoming a friend of the show means that you donate monthly to help support the show. You donate $10 a month, and we send you a Glencairn glass as a thank you gift, a Catholic Man Show Glencairn glass, that is. But in doing that, also we invite you to a closed Facebook group. We do extra content. We have a lot of things upcoming that we can't really talk about yet, but there's a lot of things in the works for the friends of the show. But the group of guys that are in there, I think we have 40 or 50 guys in there right now, and the group of guys in there is just awesome. It's just a lot of fun. They're actually like friends. Like, it was really weird when we first started because I wasn't really sure how this was going to go or who was going to join or you know, you just didn't really know. But it's gone way better than what I ever thought it would.
I know. I've told my wife, Pamela, like, I would totally hang out with these guys. If they lived in Tulsa,
a Catholic Man Show retreat.
That would be awesome.
So if we can get enough...
In Rome. We'll do it in Rome.
In Rome. That would be good. Or Scotland.
I'm cool with that.
Philip Roy Distillery.
Yeah.
When we get back, we're going to go over the man gear. Drink a little bit of this Atlas cider. Hang in there. We're on the Lord's team. The winning side. So raise your glass.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, sitting here in studio with Adam Inahan. We are drinking some dragon fruit cider. Is it still apple cider, or is it just dragon fruit cider?
It's dragon fruit cider is what it's called.
Because to me, I still get an apple flavor.
Well, it has to, because it has apples in it, I'm sure.
Okay, so it's still apple cider.
Right.
With dragon fruits.
There's other flavors like apple, palm cherry, which I guess pomegranate cherry, apricot, blackberry, and this one's dragon fruit.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Made in Bend, Oregon.
It's one of those things like it's like weird to be alcoholic because I feel like I could have this for breakfast.
Well, I mean, you know, John Adams did.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, there have been famous, very successful men who did that.
Yeah.
And it worked. Because what did he say? That guy lived to be 90.
To 90, yeah.
So it was good for his, that's what he said. He thought it was good for his health. Mm-hmm. So I do feel good right now. I feel healthy.
Yeah.
I feel pretty healthy.
I feel like I could run.
I feel much healthier than I did.
I could just start running.
15 minutes ago.
Maybe do some push-ups.
Do it. We haven't done feats of strength over the commercial break in a long time.
It has been a long time.
Do you remember
time.
That? We used to do that.
Yeah, we used to like...
You need to do a feat of strength after the next break.
I'll try to do that.
Because today we're talking about... We're going to get to the man gear, but we're talking about dating.
Right.
This is a topic that has been the cry.
We've had a lot of people asking us to do a courtship, Catholic dating episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And honestly...
And clearly we know what we're talking about because we're both married.
Well, and that's kind of
we
like,
pulled it off.
Yeah, but that was kind of like why I hesitated at first, thinking like, I don't know, it's been a while since I've been
Dude,
in the dating game.
I know so
game.
Much more about dating after being married.
Well,
like,
yeah.
You think, someone's like, oh, I'm good at dating. It's like, dude, you should live with a woman, okay? Now, then you'll know how to treat a woman.
Well, don't live with her unless you're married.
Right, yeah. Yes, thank you.
I just wanted to make sure that...
You're right. That is what I meant.
Right.
I meant, once you get married and now you live with a woman, you'll really get to know women. Mm-hmm. In fact, I was reading a blog today. No, I'll say that because we need to talk about the man gear. I'll talk about
There's too much.
Yeah, let me sum up. Okay, man gear today.
Okay.
I like this man gear. I've wanted to do it for a long time. It is the Catholic T-shirt.
Yes.
You know, I like this man gear because this is one of those things that I'm currently in the accumulation phase of.
Me too.
In fact, people ask, you know, like, oh, what do you want for your birthday? You know, give me a sweet, like a cheesy Catholic t-shirt. Something that's punny maybe or just awesome. Like, not all of mine are cheesy. I've got that John Paul II shirt, which is sweet.
Yeah. And that's the thing.
The one I have on right now is punny. It's cheesy.
Right. It's the, looks like a Starbucks logo, but it says, I like her a latte.
Right. It's not the Starbucks logo. It's but got it a looks picture like of it. Our Lady in it. And right. It kind of looks like Starbucks. And it says, I like her a latte.
Right.
And it's just like dumb, but awesome.
You know.
I do like her a latte, though.
Well, me too.
Yeah.
In fact, I like her so much that I consecrated myself to Jesus through her.
Dude, good idea. I did that.
Yeah. But here's the thing that's really cool, I think, is that the Catholic shirts are finally getting in the game of, like fashionable. Like you said, some cheesy ones, which you can wear those all the time.
Sure.
You know, that's fine. But you always feel like sometimes it's, like, standing out, pow, in your face. Like, look, this is, like, a cheesy Catholic shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've come out with there's a lot of these really good companies you can go online. We've promoted a couple in past segments, past episodes, but they have like some really cool fashionable Catholic shirts.
Yeah.
That aren't like super obvious that they're Catholic. Mm-hmm. And I like those because it's a great way to evangelize.
Right.
You know, there's one from Paradigm Clothing that's actually all Braille. Okay, but the Braille is so it's just a bunch of dots.
Yeah.
But it's a Bible verse.
Dude, that's crazy.
And so people will come up to you and say, like, what is that?
Yeah.
And it's just a great way to be like, oh, it's John 6.
Mm-hmm.
John chapter 6. You know.
No, I actually speak Braille.
I see.
Yeah.
You're doing it right now.
No, I do. I'm one of the only people in the world who can speak Braille.
Who can speak it.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you.
Well done.
Yeah. It's not easy.
Whatever, dude. But I am glad that some companies, somebody finally stepped up and saw a need, like, we need to have some good quality Catholic
shirts.
Yeah,
totally.
There's a ground
game going on right now in the Catholic Church. That's what it says to me. There's ground game going on, you know?
Well, and you can tell because all, like, the Steubenville conferences, the Sikh conferences, like, all these big, you know, college type of conferences that are going on, you see their shirts and they're like, that's a cool shirt. You know, Into the Breach also has one that's like, that's a cool shirt.
I have one that says it looks just like the Home Depot logo.
This is a cheesy one.
Except, yeah, I'm a big fan of the cheesy ones.
I know.
And this one's less cheesy than my I Like Her a Latte shirt. Because it just
says, debatable.
It says, instead of Home Depot, it says Holy Spirit. And then above it, it says, you can do it. He can help. It's pretty cool. And it's one of those that I've worn that around, and people will be talking to me for an hour, and then they'll go, oh, hey, I just read your shirt.
Right.
You know, it's not obvious right off the bat. But I'm cool with some people hate on the cheesy, like, no, don't wear cheesy shirts because, you know, it's not respectful or something. It's like, no, that's not how I feel about it. I say, wearing a cheesy Catholic shirt kind of gives the vibe of, look, my Catholic faith is so cool. I wear cheesy shirts about it, okay? Like, it's not just this, oh, pious, serious, like, you know.
Monastic type
like,
of.
Don't talk about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. It's cool to be Catholic.
Well, and you know.
And it is.
Yeah. And
totally,
it's just part,
totally
like,
awesome.
You know, Catholic, being Catholic, you're Catholic throughout your whole day, right?
Yeah.
Everything you do is Catholic. If you are Catholic, everything you do is Catholic. And so why do you dress up as, you know, why are you worried about fashion? You know, because you want to present yourself in a manner.
Yep.
And wearing t-shirts, you're presenting yourself. Look, I'm Catholic. And so I like being able to do that, even if it's not a pow in your face, or even if it is, regardless of which way it is. You're showcasing to the world, like, hey, I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
It's part of who I am.
There's a stat. We should have looked this up before we started recording.
How many times do we say that
in between
segments? Like, oh, I wish we would have looked that up.
Anyway, it was something about
this is like what happens when you have real conversation.
This is it. This is it. This is how I talk in real life.
Right.
But it was something about how many times a T-shirt gets seen. You know, sort of like a billboard where they keep track of like viewership,
frequency,
stats, frequency, reach.
Mm-hmm.
These are terms, but it was like a lot.
They are.
It was like a million. You know, I'm just gonna make it up. It was like a million.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it was a bunch of sets of eyeballs.
That's a lot.
That see every T-shirt over the life of a T-shirt on average. So think about that.
Mm-hmm.
How many people are gonna see your shirt, your Catholic T-shirt?
Yeah, and I have gained quite a few Catholic shirts, especially over the last about 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had kind of a set because the men's conference is coming up in Oklahoma, which we will be at. We have a booth.
We'll be live even.
Yeah, if you're listening in Oklahoma right now and you're going to the Catholic men's conference, which if you're a man, I don't know why you're not.
It's not too late to sign up.
Not too late to sign up. Go to catholicmen.net. But we're going to have a booth there. And this is the 21st conference. I've been to 19 of them out of the 20 that have already happened.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And you've been to like 16, 17, 18.
Two or three less than you. Yeah.
Right. So we've been, and I normally get a shirt every year.
Uh-huh.
So I had like this set of Catholic shirts, but now I've really kind of thrown in the JP2 shirts. I have a couple of the Catholic Man Show T-shirt.
Yeah. Ooh, that sounded cool when you did that.
Thanks. The Catholic Man Show T-shirt.
I want to. How do you?
No, I'm not going to tell you how.
Dang it!
That is another great shirt, the Catholic Man Show.
Yeah,
we have two different designs. Tell them about them.
Okay, well, one of them is just straight up. It says the Catholic Man Show.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag Cheers to Jesus.
Because that's what we do.
We do Cheers to Jesus on the reg. And then the other one has, imagine,
two mugs,
cheersing. The actual act of cheersing. Mm-hmm. Is cheersing the right word? I'm going with it.
Yeah, I say go with it.
And it still says the Catholic Man Show.
Hashtag it says Cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
No, it says, yeah, Cheers to Jesus has our logo on it, and then it says we're on the Lord's team, the winning side.
That's right.
So raise your glass.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some in stock right now, all sizes.
And I believe they can be
purchased. You can go to our Facebook page.
You can make a donation for a shirt, and we will send it to you.
Right. Because that's really what we do.
I don't think we technically sell things. I think
we
if you make a donation,
we'll send you
for your donation, we will send you a T-shirt.
Mm-hmm. That is
because we're not for profit, so we don't sell stuff.
That's correct.
And it's tax deductible.
Boom.
You minus the value of the T-shirt that you receive as a thank you.
But you can't. You can go to right now it's stmichaelradio.com. And there's a tab, The Catholic Man Show, and you can get the shirt.
But we're
from
about to launch our own website.
Yes, we are. I cannot wait. Dude, we've been working really hard on it. TheCatholicManShow.com is about to be launched. So prepare, internet, for a very manly website to be launched.
Let's also register CatholicManShowBomb.com.
Okay. I think that's a great idea. Don't do it, listener. Don't you do it. Don't.
I'll be so mad. Oh, my gosh.
Don't do that. So we've been sitting here drinking a little bit of Atlas cider given to us by Christian, who's a friend of the show. We got done talking about some Catholic T-shirts, the Catholic Man Show T-shirt. When we get back, we're going to talk about dating. We're going to do it.
Members of the opposite sex.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
The raise your glass. I like your qualification.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Welcome back. And I mean it. Welcome back. We missed you over the break. We're sitting here drinking a little bit of Atlas cider. Just got done talking about the Catholic
Man Show. Dude, we didn't do any feats of strength.
Oh, man.
Next.
It's okay. We got one more.
Next segment.
We'll do it.
You're going to come back tired.
It's okay.
I'm gonna sit on you. You're going to have to do push-ups.
It's okay. I'm all right with it.
I don't think you could do a push-up if I was sitting
way
on
too
you.
Heavy.
Because my biceps are huge. Like, they weigh like 30 pounds.
Dave, so we... I'm just going to gloss over
that.
Yeah, I'm glossing over that.
Dude, chicks. Chicks.
So, we've known each other. We've been best friends forever.
Yeah.
Since
that's not theologically accurate, but I'll let it slide.
Thank you.
Okay.
And when we were in college, you know, you went to UCO
yes.
in Edmond, Oklahoma, uh-huh. and I went to Oklahoma State in Stillwater.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so we would always come, you know, to each other. You know, I'd come to Edmond to see you. You'd come to Stillwater to see me.
Right.
And it was always crazy to me because when we'd get together and we'd either go to a party or we'd hang out with friends or, you know, whatever we were doing, it seemed like that there would always be this moment of opportunity to either play an instrument or tell this story or sing or something. You know, I think in parties that just happens.
Yeah.
And it always blew my mind that you would get up there and, like, jump on that piano and start playing Piano Man.
No big deal.
And I'd be like, what? I'd be so mad at you. Like, how did you do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that came out of nowhere. Or yeah. I remember one time people were they were singing and they said, Dave, why don't you sing something? And you busted out this Italian, like, opera song, like, out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's
and,
good to know one song in Italian.
And I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like... It was blowing. It always blew my mind.
Uh-huh.
Then, after college, we moved in together.
Right.
Okay. And then I started picking up on all your tricks.
The facade.
Right.
Well, it's not. It's real, but.
It's real. But I figured out. Oh, he after work gets down there and plays the piano for about 30 minutes
mm-hmm.
and practices. And oh, every time that we're doing chores or there's an opportunity to sing, he's singing.
I sing all the time.
You know. And so I realized. Ah. He practices and prepares for those moments.
Mm, I see where you're going with this.
Okay. And so I think that...
I like it.
I think that kind of goes into our topic today mm-hmm. is that when you're preparing to date, when you're single, you have to prepare to date. And we talk about virtue all the time on the Catholic Man Show. And, you know, virtue is like habitual preparation, both of the intellect and will, to govern our passions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so, but it's habitual. It's intentional. You have to prepare,
right. mm-hmm.
you know, both the intellect and will, emotionally, physically, spiritually.
Yeah, virtue is by definition a habit.
Right. So you have to habitually do it.
Not a choice. It's a habit.
And so mm-hmm. to be prepared for when those moments come. So as you're single, you have to prepare for when those moments come to have the opportunity to date.
Yeah.
Date your wife,
mm-hmm.
who will be your wife, mm-hmm. you know, someday.
That's what it's all about.
That is what it's all about. That's what dating is.
People forget about that.
Right. But, you know, it's not just preparing physically. You know, I think a lot of guys, you know, think about, you know, lifting, making sure they're groomed, you know, making sure that, you know, that they are well presented.
Look good. Yeah.
They look good. But it's, you know, in a chastity aspect,
mm-hmm.
it's, emotionally, making sure that you're emotionally prepared, spiritually prepared. Like, have you been praying for your future wife?
Right.
You know, have you been sacrificing for her mm-hmm. and your future
kids? Have you been
kids?
Developing the virtues that
right.
she deserves?
Exactly. That are injustice. You know, so we could even take, even if we wanted to, I don't know if we'll have time, but we could even take even the four cardinal virtues and apply them to dating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Temperance, fortitude, justice, and... Oh, man, I just went blank. Temperance, fortitude, justice.
I'm going to let you do it.
I just went blank. I can't think of the last one.
Is it charity?
No.
No.
Anyway, we could take all four of those. And
it's what you get for trying to list them like that.
I mean, well, I know, and like winging it, like off
dumb.
The top of my
that's
head.
Dumb.
I know, but you
that's,
take...
That's a no-win situation right there. We're here on the radio, and you start...
Yeah.
Who's
right.
that guy, the guy from Texas who was running for the president a couple years?
Ted Cruz?
No. He was the governor at the time, and he's like, listen, I got a 5-point plan. And he forgot the 5th point of his 5-point plan. It was like in the Republican debate, that's you right now.
Prudence. Prudence, temperance, fortitude, justice.
I've been reading the book Prudence Goes Potty lately. Not kidding.
I can't believe I forgot that.
But anyway.
you take those four and apply them to dating. We may
sure,
do
you
that
could apply them to
Everything. But we could maybe do that maybe next segment if we wanted to.
So I want to picture this. Okay. You know, like you're at Mass. You've seen her a few times. You know, she's always catches your attention. You want to go talk to her. You're not sure what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's, you know, after Mass is over, everybody else gets up and leaves. She stays. She kneels, prays.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly the kind of woman you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
You walk up to her and be like, "Hey, girl, my Sacred Heart scapular started beating faster when I saw you." Done deal. You got it locked up. Hey, girl.
Oh. Okay.
Seriously, there are a lot of really good Catholic pickup lines.
They are.
None of which will work.
Yeah.
I mean that.
Yeah, none of them will work.
You just want to make, if you want to assure failure, use a pickup line.
Yeah. So, Dave, you and I, like, we're both married.
Right, correct.
But both of our dating, courtship of our wives were very different.
Very different.
Vastly different. Yeah. Why don't you tell them, like, what happened with yours?
Okay.
Real quick, and then I'll do mine, and then we'll kind of go from there.
Okay, so mine, fast.
Yes.
In fact, 3 weeks and one day after my first date with my wife, I knew I was going to marry her. I knew it. In fact, I wrote her a letter.
You wrote her a letter.
I wrote her a letter.
I remember. You were telling
her.
You called me right before you started writing it, and you're like, dude,
I'm writing a letter.
I'm writing a letter to her, and I don't know, like, how quick. Anyway, I'm sorry. This is your story, not mine.
Yeah, dude.
I'm sorry. I got excited for you. I'm sorry.
So I wrote her a letter telling her that, you know, it's been 3 weeks and one day, and I'm going to marry you. And I hope that I can show you, you know, over the whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I mailed it to myself. And I hung on to it. And on the day of our wedding, I gave her that letter. And it was like, God, it was a good move. Like, mm-hmm. just one of those things. It's like,
but see,
yes.
When you started dating her, you were on your way, like, spiritually, emotionally, like, you were becoming prepared.
I am so glad that I did not start dating her
earlier,
prior to when we did. Because
mm-hmm.
if we had, it would not have worked out. Because, like, my wife...
You just weren't mature,
like,
enough is really what it
oh,
came down to.
That's absolutely true. I mean, that's not even a joke. I mean,
right.
She really was, and still is, way out of my league.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's way better looking than I am.
Mm-hmm.
Especially now that I have this beard, you know.
I don't know, dude. That
I dig the beard.
The beard
but
gives you some man points.
Oh, yeah. But there's... Man... Being manly and being, like, good looking, not necessarily the same. In fact, if you
Fair
ask
enough.
Me, I think dudes are pretty ugly in general, okay? But whatever. So, anyway, I had known her. The thing is, I had known her family forever.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up friends with her brother. Her
mm-hmm.
brother was in my class. He's now a priest.
Right.
But when we were kids, I used to go over to her house and hang out. So, I knew her, but I didn't really know her.
Right.
You know, we weren't really friends. And then, boom, we both became single at one point. And
you took her on a date, and that was it.
Taking that woman out.
Mm-hmm. That was awesome.
I'm buying her dinner.
And see, mine was totally different. Because I met my wife in college, and I was definitely not mature enough really to even handle a relationship at that point. I was in a relationship, but I was not... doing a good job of being a man in the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But we became friends. Like, we were friends first, complete straight up friends. She was dating somebody, I was dating another person. And we became single at the same time and we started dating. And I knew, in fact, I think I called you. I know I called you.
And I remember.
I said, dude, I'm definitely going to marry Haley.
Mm-hmm.
And this was like, 2009.
Yeah,
were
we still in college?
I was still a senior in college.
Yeah.
Yes. So I was like, I'm definitely marrying.
Because that was the first time any of my friends, anybody I knew our age, who had
said,
talked about getting married. And
right.
It was just like,
because
I
knew.
Okay.
Well, I mean, when you know that you're marrying up, like, you know, when you have something good, you better make sure you
don't drag your feet.
Yeah. Don't make sure you're not. Okay. So, but here's something that's interesting, and I read this on earlier today. Actually, about, like, becoming friends first, and I know we don't have a lot of time, so I'm going to kind of go quick here, but he was saying that you shouldn't become friends first because your purpose is to date, and so if you're becoming a friend just to date, that's disingenuous.
You someone you don't
date.
Know.
This somebody I don't know.
New,
this is something
new
I read.
Relationship, new friend, new person.
Yeah, new person. Yeah. To become friends just to date is disingenuous because your whole goal is to date.
You're not really wanting to be friends. You're wanting to date.
To date, right. But that wasn't the case with Haley and I. We were literally just friends. And then at one point we realized we were more than friends. And when that happened, or we had the opportunity to become more than friends. And when that happened, we decided maybe we should start dating.
Yeah.
And then we got married in 2012. And we're about to have another kid.
Yeah. Like about?
Like really soon. So, anyway, when we get back, let's talk a little bit more about this, because we haven't got into it as much as what I want to. Yeah.
We're on the winning side. The winning side. So raise your glass.
Raise it.
Feats of strength.
Oh, yeah, I got to do push-ups.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. This is the Man Show. We talk about man stuff. I'm David Niles. We're with a fellow man, Adam Minahan. We're talking
that
about...
That rhymed.
That rhymed?
Yeah.
Did I do something? Really? What did I say?
The stellar man, Adam Minahan.
Oh, yeah. I was a poet, and I was not even aware of the fact.
There you go.
Okay. So we're talking about dating.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about dating women.
Specifically for men.
Chicks, dude.
Chicks. So, Dave, so what would you say to a guy, I think people hear this all the time, what do you say, like, to a guy who says, how do you know she's the one? Like, I'm dating a girl, I've been dating her for 3 years, how do I know if she's the one?
I'd say she's not the one. But,
there's always,
yeah.
I mean,
that's just what I would say,
right.
But. I would follow that up with a deeper conversation.
Right.
But this, for me, was something that I was asking.
You used to be that guy.
I was this guy, like, God, how do you know? But not about my wife. Because obviously, like, the story I just told 3 weeks, one day in, I was like, I'm making this permanent.
Right.
But with a girl I was dating just prior, you know, the relationship prior to my wife, we'd been together for a few years, mm-hmm. you know. And like, it's weird how sometimes you don't realize how bad a relationship is until you get out of it. You know
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a totally different story.
Yeah, we won't go there.
But I was like asking, you know, it's kind of like, well, you know, should we get married? We've been together, blah, blah, blah. And everybody I asked who was married, I'd say, how do you know if she's the one? And they would all say the same cliche, like, you just know.
Mm-hmm.
You just do. And it'd be like, no, that's bull crap.
Right.
How do you know? Don't tell me you just do. I want to know, like, you feel, like, what do you feel?
Mm-hmm. Oh, point by point, how
right.
do you know?
I need empirical data.
Right.
Of for which I can use to measure.
Right.
And then I started dating Pamela, and it was just, like, so obvious. You know?
Like, oh, okay.
Like, and it was. I even remember being mad about it, like, dang it. You do just know.
So I think that it's interesting, though. Like, I think that you should take the advice of, if you know that the person that you're dating is not the one, you need to get out
end
of that
it
relationship.
As quickly as possible.
You need to get, like, actually, you owe it to her out of justice.
Totally.
To end it. Because not only are you not, you know, emotionally involved or you know, you're not all there 100% into the relationship.
Right.
God could be putting somebody else who is for you or is for her in their lives, and they aren't taking,
they're not available
they're
at
not
the
available
yeah, because,
at that time
yeah. And it becomes a lie. Your relationship
exactly.
is a lie anyway. I think we should talk about some do's and don'ts.
Okay.
Some just it, advice.
We have not talked about this, so this is
right.
I'm anxious to hear what you have to say. And
now I am personally do not believe in this whole soulmate business. I don't think that there's one person out there for everyone. I think that a good marriage could be had between you and, you know, a lot of different spouses. Because
not at the same time.
Not at the same time, right. Exactly. But, you know, it's like God, at the end of the day, he gives us choices.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us the grace. You know, it's like if you make a, that's what you made, that's your choice. Try to make the best choice you can.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to give you the grace you need for your state in life. Mm-hmm. Now, when it comes to, I say that as to kind of qualify what I'm about to say. I do think if you feel called to marriage, you have to realize that your vocation is not to a state in life as it is to a person.
Mm-hmm.
You need to discern your vocation. Is my vocation, like for me, I have a vocation to my wife, Pamela.
Mm-hmm.
She is my vocation. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
It's not just like, oh, I'm called to be married. No, I'm called to be married to her.
Right.
And so when you're dating a woman, that needs to be something that you're thinking about. I feel like a lot of people date without the end in mind. You know, like that's one of the,
right.
the things of successful people is start with the end in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And if at any point you lose sight of what your goal is for dating, then that's when things start to go off the track.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? And I think especially on a first date, first dates should be fun. They should be light. But they should also be very informative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't, it shouldn't just be like, oh, let's go out and dance and have fun together.
Right.
I mean, sure, you can do that. You know, have fun. You should have fun. You want right. her to know that you're a guy who knows how to have fun.
Right.
She wants to have fun too.
Mm-hmm.
But you should also have time to talk, because how do you know whether there should be a second date? Any pretty girl, if you go dancing with, you're mm-hmm. going to have fun.
Right.
You're going to have fun dancing with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean that, there should be a second date. So you need to know things about, like, oh, do you want kids?
So I think a good qualification, because there's a lot of guys out there, if you don't date often, or you haven't been in the dating scene very, very long, or you're just getting into the dating scene, talking to the opposite sex is probably the most, like, anxiety-driven, you know, scared thing outside of confession.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's terrifying outside of confession. Confession probably is the only other thing that's more...
I don't know, dude. Confession's a lot. It's pretty easy.
For your first time, first confession.
God doesn't ever reject you. That's the thing about confession.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true. So, but
The priest doesn't ever be like, no.
Unless you're not sorry.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, anyway. So I think that it's important to have this goal, like you said, the end in mind.
Yeah.
Before you start talking to this other woman, you're nervous, you may be, you know, having a little butterflies or whatever. It's good to have these sets of, here's what I know that I'm looking for, to make sure that you stay focused on, like, if something comes up about this thing, like, do you want to have kids? I know I want to have kids. You know, I want to make sure that I want to have a lot of kids. You know, so if she's not interested in having kids at all, that's something that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
Before continually moving on to another date or something like that.
And there's going to be, you know, I feel like a lot of people are going to disagree with this, but I think you should talk about chastity on the first date.
Absolutely. And not, she can't be okay with it, but she has to, it's not like something that she has to say, okay, I'll do it because you want it.
That's not, it doesn't work.
It won't work.
Because it needs to be, chastity needs to be a team effort.
It has to be.
It has to be. Because if it's just like, oh, I'm willing to do that if that's what you want, as soon as you have a moment of weakness, boom. Because she's not really on board. She's just okay with it.
Right.
But I remember reaching the point dating where I said, no, I'm going to talk about chastity on the first date. And someone even said, like, I don't know if I would, like, maybe wait a second before you just jump into that. And I said, no, because the woman I am looking for is going to hear that and going to say, yes, finally a man who, this is the man I'm looking for right mm-hmm. here, you know, and good. If she doesn't like that and it scares her off, perfect.
Right. That's it. That I know now.
Right. Because that was going to happen anyway. Why waste time?
Right.
Because
you have to choose somebody who respects you, your values, and your body.
Right.
Have to.
Mm-hmm. And so you have to be willing to do that. So do's. Let's talk about, what are some things that you should do?
Treat her with respect.
Well, yes. Totally.
I mean, that goes without saying.
Like, how do you ask? I mean, how do you do it? I think right off the bat, it's a common mistake And I used to make this mistake. Oh, let's just go get coffee together. You want to hang out?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very ambiguous whether or not this is a date. If you want to date a woman, tell her this is a date.
Mm-hmm.
Don't leave it because, you know, it's kind of a safety net where, oh, if she says no, then it's just like, oh, okay, well, it wasn't really a date anyway. I just wanted to hang out, you know, so it's no big deal.
Right.
No, if you're a man, mm-hmm. be a man, mm-hmm. be honest, upfront,
and be true.
And you're going to get rejected. Get over it.
Right.
There's a lot of other women out there. Okay.
Right. Well, and it's really about, again, going back to prudence and justice. You know, you have to be true. You have to be who you are,
yeah.
you know, in front of her.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be prudent about this relationship, you know, this upcoming relationship. Is this something that I want to do? Is this something that I'm willing to get involved with?
Okay, I want to have this discussion when we're running out of time.
Okay.
Catholic, non-Catholic.
Okay, I knew you were going to probably say that.
What do you think?
Okay, so people are going to disagree with this, I think.
Yep, yep. There's no answer to this question.
My personal opinion, this is Adam Minahan.
Yeah.
I think that they have to at least be open to the fact of being Catholic. Being Catholic is the most important thing that you have going on in your life. That is the most important. That's why you live.
Yeah.
You know, to serve our Lord. And that has to be known. That has to be showcased to her. This is the most important thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And if this isn't going to be the most important thing in your life, then this isn't going to work.
Right. And if you're not going to love me for this reason, it's going to be tough.
So some of the best Catholics are converts. My wife came into the church. She was not Catholic at all.
Mm-hmm.
And she came into the church after dating me. So I think that they have to at least be open to it.
Yeah. Okay, so my wife's first girl I ever dated who was really Catholic, and it blew me away how much different our relationship was. I mean, just that alone was just like, oh, wow, this is way, way better. Now, there are you shouldn't make this as a rule, because God may call you to marry someone who is not Catholic. You may be the avenue by which God wants to bring her to the church.
Right.
Okay, so you have to maintain a discerning heart all the time. What is God calling me to do?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but yeah, if you don't have to marry a Catholic, but it is a lot easier if you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
Everything, because when you start having kids, you're living your whole life together. If you don't agree on this foundational thing, it causes problems.
I also have to say really quick, if you're a man right now, instead of getting into the dating game and you're watching porn, you need to stop immediately.
Absolutely.
It has to be something you have to do for yourself, but also for your wife and your kids.
Yeah.
You have to stop. That's going to be the first thing you have to do before you get into the dating game.
Good advice. Good advice.
All right, this has been a lot of fun. I wish we had another segment.
Me too.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Thanks, Christian, for the beer. Hard cider.
Cheers to Jesus.